I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
Every Christmas, families get together to rekindle their love for each other. Even Santa Claus and his brother Fred.
Stop trying to have Mom call me, because I don't want to talk to Mom.
I've never done anything like that.
Have you ever said, oh, Mom's here, jump on and say hi, she's standing right here. Have you ever done that?
Not to my knowledge.
Right, and or you have.
Like, no.
Yes, you have.
You shouldn't eat like that. You're going to tear something internally.
You've already torn something internally in me.
Wow.
How the reindeer doing?
They're good.
Really?
They're good. Yeah, Rudolph has some kind of skin thing going on.
Why'd you get a dog?
I'm going to make it this year. Why don't I get a dog?
What are you going to do with a reindeer? Can't fetch anything?
Dogs can't fly.
Can't bark?
But a dog can't fly.
Wet Willie, stop it. Wet Willie, you stop it. Step back like you're five.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to a Very Merry Iconic podcast with me, Danny Pellegrino.
And me, Jenna Brister.
Hi, Jenna.
Hey, Danny.
I feel like I slurred the name of our podcast when I just said it just then. I don't know why. I didn't have any eggnog. It came out that way.
Tis the season.
Tis the season. You know, it wouldn't be a bad thing if I did have some eggnog before we record. It's seasonal.
Oh, yeah. We should do that.
Yeah, I'm not a big eggnog. I don't love an eggnog.
No.
But I'll have like a peppermint patty or peppermint schnapps.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Or
I love
a hot toddy. I'm a hot toddy fan.
You know, our mutual friend, Adam Slandra, in college, we went to college together, and we used to do like peppermint patty shots. Like, do you remember those?
It was
like you put the peppermint schnapps in your mouth. Some people mix them. The real trashy Ohio way to do it is to like put a little bit of peppermint schnapps in your mouth and then chase it with that like liquid chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like a peppermint patty.
Yum.
It's delicious. We could do those.
Let's do those. Yeah.
Okay, you guys, we're not talking about drinking on this podcast today. We're talking about Fred Claus. We're going to keep it focused to Fred Claus, maybe.
Yes.
But we should also mention our disclaimer at the beginning of the episode. If you really love Fred Claus, just know that we're going to drag.
Talk about other stuff. Yeah, we have other things.
We're going to talk about other things, and we're going to drag the movie a little bit.
Yes.
So we love you, and we love it if you love this movie, and we aren't trying to. We'll try to start off with something positive so we don't hurt anyone's feelings. So, Jenna, why don't you start by saying something positive about the Vince Vaughn film, Fred Claus?
I think Paul Giamatti should get an Oscar, Best Dramatic Supporting Actor, because he is in his own movie.
Yeah, he was good in it.
Yeah. What about you? What was your favorite? Do you have a
favorite? My favorite part was the sets. I thought it was beautiful, very rich. Obviously, the production budget was high, which I looked it up. It was very fucking high. Mm-hmm. But I thought the sets were beautiful, stunning. And I just wish there was another movie filmed in it.
Yes.
But it was stunning cinematography and production design.
Mm-hmm.
Thought it was great.
Yeah, it was shocking that it was Fred Claus. Because Lights Up, Kathy Bates is giving birth to Santa, which I thought is a bold way to start a movie. I was like, wait, what? What's going on? And then the dad, Papa Claus, is Jewish. And I was like, okay, I love this already.
And the movie actually is based on a poem. Did you know that?
No.
It's based on the poem, A Legend of Santa and His Brother Fred, written by Donald Henkel.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like they should have called this Santa Begins.
Oh, interesting.
Right? Because it's kind of the origin of Santa.
Do you think we've seen all there is about Santa? Like, do you think there's any more takes. Like, I often wonder, like, have we got all the takes? Like, we've met Santa's brother. Yeah. We met Santa's daughter. There was that Anna Kendrick movie called Noel, where
Christmas Chronicles.
And the Christmas Chronicles. Like, we've seen every version of Santa.
I love Kurt Russell. He's so,
so
hot.
Sexy in that.
I think he was my first crush.
Yeah, he's so sexy. Yeah, he's so hot. And hot Santa. Mm-hmm. And Goldie's in the sequel.
Yes.
I think we talked about it briefly last season on the podcast, where there was, like, a lot of elves playing hockey. That's all I remember.
That's it. Just
a lot of elf hockey work.
Yes.
Yeah. But I wonder, this was, like, the brother, and this came a long time ago, but I just don't know. I'm sure there will be, but it's like, what are the other takes going
to
be?
The other hot takes. It'd be fun to see if he was really hot. Like, if we get a Channing Tatum, like, I don't know.
I love us. You know, that's my favorite thing. It's a sexy Santa. I've said it a million times. I love it. I love it.
Oh, I would welcome that. If they're like Magic Mike and Santa are doing mashup. I'd be like, perfect. Great.
Nothing hotter to
Can't wait.
Nothing hotter. Nothing hotter. Okay, so this movie, it's based, as a child, Frederick Kloss grew up in the shadow of his younger brother, Nicholas Nick. Due to Nick's selflessness and goodwill, he became a saint, which gave him and his family immortality. Fred's jealousy of Nick and his parents' preference for him hits a breaking point when Nick cuts down a tree that Fred goes up to talk his feelings to a bird named Chirp Chirp, destroying...
Mm-hmm. And also, this seems like the land that they're in, it almost seems like Scotland, but gnomes, right? I was like trying to figure out, I was like, wait, getting the lay of the land. Like, this doesn't look like North Pole. Are we in the Highlands? I don't know.
This was 2007.
Do you know who wrote this? Dan Fogelman, who did This Is Us and Crazy Stupid Love.
No.
He wrote this.
No.
Isn't that insane?
No, did he?
I know. Yeah.
No. He did.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
I know. I don't know.
This movie is, I thought, okay, Four Christmases, like, I didn't love, but I liked it more than this.
Yeah.
Did you like him? Maybe I don't know. This, to me, was just crazy.
This was crazy. I also just didn't like, well, it was hard to get behind the Rachel Weisz. Is it Weisz or
Weisz?
Yeah, Weisz. Rachel Weisz. She's like, you know, putting up parking tickets in Chicago, and Vince Vaughn is like gaslighting her left and right, ghosts her. And then, like, I don't know. I just didn't believe it.
And the guy, there's that one scene with the guy who played Denny Duquette on Grey's Anatomy. Mm-hmm. He just randomly was like flirting with Rachel Weisz. But I guess it was before he was famous, but I was like, oh, what a weird cameo. But it wasn't, I guess it wasn't a cameo. It was just a small role.
Yeah.
But Rachel, I mean, we talked in Four Christmases about all these, like, really acclaimed actors really just doing a Vince Vaughn holiday comedy. And this movie has the same thing. It's got, it's got Paul Giamatti, Kevin Miranda Spacey. Richardson. We hate Kevin Spacey.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Fucking nut. Do you ever see those videos he posts on? One of them was like last holiday season. He posted as the guy from House of Cards. And he's a fucking monster, allegedly, but he posted a video as the character from House of Cards on Christmas Day. It's the creepiest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Yeah. Like, it was like, what are you doing? Who's advising this?
How is he not behind bars? That's my question.
How? Yeah. I don't understand it. I don't. And it just was like on Christmas, no less.
Yeah. And like, I love the premise of this is also crazy that he's Kathy basically Bates. The auditor of the North Pole. It's like this guy, he's like a suit guy who shows up and he's like, I have to run the numbers. I'm like, what is the
right? What are the numbers? Yeah, what are the reasons?
You know?
And didn't you tell me that you were reading, not Kevin's, the other one, Paul Giamatti. Said he acted like he was in a different movie, but didn't he like purposely film as if he was in a different movie?
Yes. Yeah. I found this article. It's hilarious, from the New York Daily News, where he's like, I envision Santa as a stressed out businessman. And that's how he played it. And it's so true. It's like, it's so method.
Okay. But I also love that the New York Daily News was just doing articles about Fred Kloss. Like, what? Not only, but not even about the lead of Fred Kloss, but about Paul Giamatti and the, what?
The title of the review is just Paul Giamatti plays a stressed Santa in Fred Kloss. Okay. Thank you. but I think that was also the scenes between him and Kevin Spacey when they're really duking it out. I was like, and Vince Vaughn's nowhere to be found. He's gone off in the sleigh. We haven't talked about that. Is it Michael Patrick Higgins plays the elves?
Okay, I have so many thoughts about the elves.
We have to talk
Should
about
we
the
start
elves.
There?
Because, yeah, let's start there because the green screen work is
It was
jarring.
Shocking. It was shocking to me. And not only do we have him, John Michael Higgins, who people might know from, he was in that show Great News, and he's in the new Saved by the Bell reboot. He's really, really funny actor.
So funny.
Him and Ludacris, inexplicably, play elves in this film.
As the DJ.
But as the DJ elf. And they play elves, but they... Okay, so I understand there's this an interesting argument about little people being cast as elves. Obviously, they don't want to play elves in everything because, you know, that's problematic in its own right. However, what was also problematic to me was we're pasting John Higgins' face on a little person because there was an actor, a little person actor, who was cast in a lot of these roles, and then they paste somebody else's face on them.
Insane.
To me, that's worse, right?
Yes.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, no,
but
that's
it's like, so you go to face. Act.
We call it elf-facing.
They elf-faced. It's true. It's like, I'd be so pissed if I was one of those actors.
Oh, yeah.
They get paid less, and then Ludacris is taking credit for their performance.
Mm-hmm.
And is Ludacris really that tall? We kind of... I mean, done some camera trickery. He's a short man.
Yeah.
Great man. I love What's Your Fantasy.
Yeah.
But they could have easily made him look like an elf.
Yeah.
He ain't that tall.
And now I just realized this is why they have financial problems. He has a DJ employed in the workshop.
Right.
Like, what's the point, Santa? And, that's why you're leaking money.
And this was 2007. Imagine how much that fucking avatar technology cost to do that with the Ludacris and John Michael Higgins.
Mm-hmm.
Because that must have been so fucking expensive. Yeah. Not only was the production budget insane, but also the elf technology budget must have been astronomical. The movie cost $100 million, which is really high.
That's really high.
And I can't imagine who greenlit that.
And also, Elizabeth Banks was full size. Wasn't she full size?
She was
and
full
Michael
size.
Patrick Higgins had a crush on her the whole time. And her tits are out.
I know, and she's I love her too. And she's always got the short skirt on.
Yeah.
And it was like, we're sexualizing the elf played by Elizabeth Banks.
Hardcore.
Mm-hmm. And John Michael Higgins. Is that his name? Am I saying his name right? John Michael Higgins? John Michael Higgins.
I think I called him Michael Patrick. I'm sorry.
Yeah. He's got a crush on Elizabeth Banks. And there was that one, the weirdest scene to me. I mean, I guess I don't even know if this is the weird, because the weird scene with Ludacris DJing.
Mm-hmm.
By the way,
so
people who've never seen this movie again are going to be listening to this podcast and be like, what the fuck are they saying?
For Red Claws, yeah.
Elf face, Red Claws.
Scene.
Like, what is happening?
What?
It's all crazy.
Yes, it is all crazy.
But yeah, the Ludacris DJ scene truly is so bizarre to me. But there is a John Michael Higgins scene where he slow dances or dances with Vince Vaughn.
Uh-huh.
And because they're different sizes, he like puts his hand on Vince Vaughn's ass. But I was super surprised that they didn't play it for like a big homophobic joke. Because, you know, they did that in Four Christmases. Mm-hmm. But this one, I was like, oh, surprised they just sort of moved past it.
Mm-hmm.
Vince Vaughn, in other movies, I think he would have commented on it or
put his hand on
big,
the back of his head or something.
Yeah, or something really gross. Yes. But this movie, they just blew past it, and I was surprised.
Props to Dan Fogelman. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Maybe it was John Michael Higgins was like, I won't do that.
Yeah, I won't do that.
They also made their voices higher.
Yes, they did.
At that point, like, what's the point of even being in the movie? They change your voice. It's not even your body.
Mm-hmm.
What's the deal?
I wrote down also that during the elf dance party, Vince Vaughn did toss a little person into the crowd to crowd surf. There's in these holiday movies, there's a lot of that. Someone who's full size tossing a little person.
Just acting as if they're
extra.
Just a prop.
Yeah,
it happened in Jingle All the Way.
Yeah, exactly. That's guys,
I think Arnold punched a little person and then he flew in the air across the whole city or whatever the fuck that was.
So, yeah.
I know. It's like, what was happening with everybody?
Yeah.
I don't know what everyone was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
The poster of the movie Fred Claus is just Vince Vaughn on like a little, I'm looking at it right now on my computer. He's riding a little kid bike, like a little kid bike. And Paul Giamatti's just behind him with his hands on his hips, like looking disapproving at him.
Like, you know.
How dare you?
Oh, yeah. So Papa Claus and Kathy Bates move there, right? Like they are somehow now live in the North Pole. They abandon their gnome village. Can we talk about the Siblings Anonymous support group? Because that scene was funny.
That was good.
And bizarre. Again, didn't feel like it was part of the movie.
Yeah, Sylvester Stallone's brother's in it.
Mm-hmm.
The Baldwin brother.
The other Baldwin.
Who else is in it? I forget. It was a very bizarre. And also, it reminded me of that scene from Santa Claus 2. Where it's like all the holiday people meet. I don't know if you remember this movie. We got to cover the Santa Claus movies at some point.
Oh, yeah, we got to do all those.
But yeah, it reminded me of that one, although it was Siblings. And I also think they did it in something, maybe like Wreck-It Ralph or something, did something similar. It was like a sibling or something.
Was it Bad Guy? Villains? No.
Well, Wreck-It Ralph had all the princesses in the second one.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. My door's ringing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I wrote down that the toy delivery montage was so satisfying. I felt that was really fun. Oh, because I think he was going into different people's homes. You know, it showed like people of the nations of all faiths. You know, like he went into a Hasidic family. He went into...
I like that you just took over the podcast while I got my package.
I'm just going to ramble.
So I won't have to edit that out, I guess. Yeah.
I was thinking deliveries. Like that, that was interesting because then, oh, he had to eat... We got to see all the food that different families left out. Like, remember the flan? You know, he was in a, you know, a Spanish, maybe or a Mexican household that had flan. Love flan. But he just fists it with his hand. He didn't even use a fork. He just...
Right.
You know.
Jenna, I'll be honest. I don't remember that scene at all. You know, I half watched it.
Yeah.
I did actually put it on. You know, last season, a lot of the movies I didn't even, you know, we would I put on for the trailer and then I was like, but I truly, I did watch this movie and I don't remember that.
Maybe I blacked out.
I sat and watched it. Did that really happen?
Yeah, yeah. Like during, when he was
it's
delivering
not ringing
stuff,
a bell.
It's not ringing a bell.
Not even, not so even funny. The slightest little bell.
I think there were different cookies because I think that's why Paul Giamatti got so big. He was like, Vince Vaughn was like, I can't do this. And he's like, you have to eat all the food or else the kids will feel bad for themselves. Not so that's even. Why he gained so much weight. And I was like, that's an interesting hot take on why Santa's so large.
Wow.
But also he, I wrote down too that the child actor playing
I feel
Nicholas
like I just, like,
it, had a huge ass. Remember they like patted the kid's ass.
I don't remember that either. Did we watch a different film?
I mean, was this Fred?
No, yeah.
What if some notes for a totally different movie? No.
No, I mean, I believe you.
Yeah.
I believe you, but I didn't notice the padded ass.
Oh, yeah. Also, Vince Vaughn is afraid of the ocean in real life. I did a deep dive. I was like,
you
I did,
yeah, you
facts.
Got facts.
And he cut his finger, like his severed his thumb. Have you seen that? His like
no,
fingernail grew over. He's a small thumb.
He did a holiday. He did a Halloween movie, or not a Halloween movie, but it's a movie called Freaky. That's actually really good. Oh. Recently, it was like last year. It came out during the pandemic, but it's really a good little horror movie.
Oh, nice.
Which was shocking to me. Wait, yeah. Jenna, I got to read the tagline of this movie because I forgot to do that at the beginning of the episode.
Oh, yes.
So, Fred Claus, Christmas comes every year, but this holiday season, Santa's brother is coming along for the ride.
Mm.
So just, I don't know, take that in. I love a tagline on a poster.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because you're right, Vince Vaughn is not a good guy.
Oh, in real life?
Hey guys, he's not a good person.
I don't believe that character. I don't know that he is a good guy in real life.
Yeah,
I kind of get a bad vibe from him, but maybe I'm wrong about that.
Yeah, maybe he's just kind of like a random. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But even in this, it's like that's the whole shtick is he's like kind of smarmy. He's a piece of shit, you know. And he has a leather jacket on. I don't know why I just associate that with, like, you're a bad guy.
And at the beginning, he's doing that, like, Vince Vaughn improv-y thing, which, like, he always does in all of his movies. And it works in some of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think actually around this time, that was when it started to be too much. Like, and I understand him being in so many movies because he was, like, making his bank.
Yeah.
And then he disappeared for a while. Mm-hmm. And I mean, could only imagine how much money he made between, like, 2005 and, you know, 2011. A shitload of money.
Mm-hmm.
But... every movie, it was like, you're just watching Vince Vaughn. Like, it doesn't matter that he's Santa's brother. Mm-hmm. It's still Vince Vaughn. Like, it's the same person.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter that he's got to go to four different Christmases. It's still just Vince Vaughn.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I know a lot of actors kind of have that thing where it's like, you just can only see them in one role or they play the same role over and over again. But he's in particular, I just can't picture him in anything else.
Oh, yeah. No. Like, you can do like Dallas Buyers Club. And lose 80 pounds, you know. Like,
I mean, that movie I just mentioned, Freaky, it's sort of like a Freaky Friday thing. So he trades places with a young girl. And I feel like that's what's so interesting about it is that it is sort of different. Like, for the first time. Yeah, you should watch it.
Freaky. Does he like being a young girl? Like, what does he do?
You know, I forget. I only saw it once.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm realizing now as we're recording, like, my memory's not great. Like... because I just watched Fred Claus and I'm like literally sitting here thinking like
that didn't happen.
This is maybe an issue that I should talk to somebody about because like what's going on?
It's so funny. I get like that during wine season.
Yeah. And I record so much podcast stuff that it's like sometimes I just don't even know like what. I'm like, did I talk about that before? Did I tell that story like 7 times? Probably.
I think that was Instagram too. Like I think I know stuff in real life, but I'm like, oh no, I just saw that. Or dreams. You ever have dreams that you feel like are real later?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, me too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I just had a dream that I was interviewing Kelly Ripa on the set of Live. Like, it was like me backstage, or it was on the stage, but we switched spots. Like, I was in Kelly's spot and I was just chatting to her.
fun.
Yeah, it was like the best dream ever.
She's so cute.
I love her.
I know.
Love
her. She's rad.
Yeah. She doesn't get enough respect either. I know this isn't about Kelly Ripa, but I truly feel that Kelly Ripa is so good at her job, and she's so good that people don't realize how good she is.
100%.
Because she's so charming.
A taping once when it was Michael Strahan. I think it was Laura Dern was on it. And so we're there. And she is awesome.
She's total so pro. Good. She's such a good pro. She got a lot of people turned on her during that Michael Strahan stuff, but I like was totally sided with her. And a lot of it, I feel like, is just misogyny, because really, if you look into that story, it's like, she didn't do nothing wrong. The studio tried to fuck her over, so she was just trying to protect herself. Mm-hmm. But because she's a woman, everyone turned on her.
Exactly.
I won't have it. I will not accept it. Yeah, I will not accept Kelly Ripa slander.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, back to our Kelly Ripa podcast.
So Kevin Spacey cuts power to the North Pole radio.
I hate that we live in a world that Kevin Spacey's in a perennial holiday film. Like, I hate that.
And also, the way to cut power is a giant lever on the wall. You said the budget was $100,000.
100 million.
100 million. Oh, yeah.
100,000. Indie.
It's an indie. This is like low-key indie.
A Sundance indie called Fred Claus.
I thought that was such a, you know,
that's what Paul Giamatti thought he signed up for.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I can't wait to Philip Seymour Hoffman my way into this one.
Parker Posey.
Then Santa. And this scene.
Wait, Jenna, I'm sorry. I need to stop you for a second. I know we're all over the place. We are all over the place.
Yeah.
But remember when we covered Pieces of April, that indie Thanksgiving film?
With Katie Holmes.
What a delight. If anyone hasn't listened to that, go listen. Yeah. That was wild.
A really good one.
Okay, what were you saying?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, that was a great episode. I think about that episode, too, because I had never seen that movie until you were like, there is a Thanksgiving movie. It's this. Also, have you seen Free Birds, the animated one?
No, I know. We said we were going to do a Thanksgiving one this year, and we didn't. Okay. We're just doing Christmas, I guess.
Yeah. That's so fine.
You know what? But next year we'll cover Free Birds.
Yes. So that's Paul Giamatti. There's the showdown. Yeah, they're in like the bone-chilling North Pole. Kevin Spacey cut power because, I mean, I don't know, he's not paying his bills. I mean, they have a DJ, whatever. And Paul Giamatti looks over and he's like, 1968. And there's this like creepy moment where he's like, you were on the naughty list. And this scene to me, I rewound it and I rewatched it. I was like, it's a masterclass in like, it's just Spacey, Giamatti, toe-to-toe about the Superman cape. And I guess Kevin Spacey was so naughty.
And he was in Superman too. So that was like a little nod to him because he played Lex Luthor in the Superman movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like just worlds colliding. And so then Paul Giamatti pulls out a wrapped Superman cape and gives it to adult Kevin Spacey. And I'm like, this is crazy.
Totally like wild.
Like villain mode.
I mean, so much of it doesn't make sense. I can't believe Dan Fogelman, the writer who did This Is Us and like a lot of wonderful, crazy, like love, really grounded stuff. That's what's so surprising to me is like, when you said that he wrote this movie, it's like, what the fuck was he on when he wrote this? Because it doesn't feel at all like his movies, but maybe that was the point. He was trying to do something different. I get it.
Oh, yeah,
But it still does not read as a Dan Fogelman. And this was early in his career, too. I think he had done that movie Dan in Real Life. Do you ever see that with Steve Carell?
Yeah.
Which is also very grounded. That was around this time. But it still is surprising to me that he did Fred Claus.
Yeah.
Every time I know I mentioned the poster, but every time I keep looking at it on my screen, it's spelled, Claus is spelled C-L-U-S. But I think because I grew up on the Santa Claus movies, which that's a play on the words claws. So it's like the Santa Claus, C-L-A-U-S-E. But I always write claws. I did a meme last holiday season or something where I spelled claws like the Tim Allen movie.
Oh, yeah.
But there's no E at the end. And everyone was yelling at me. And I was like, wow, I feel so stupid. But I feel like we should change the spelling.
Yeah.
It should be claws like the Santa Claus.
Like this,
right?
Like Tim Allen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, did you know there was no E at the end of claws? You thought there was an E.
I thought there was an E.
Yeah, okay.
This whole time.
Right.
Yeah. Because you're right. Then when I saw this one, I was like, oh, is this like a Scottish gnome spelling? You know? Like Klaus. Santa Claus.
Klaus.
Yeah. Okay, this is blowing my mind. Because how do you spell Kris Kringle?
I think that's K.
K-R-I-S.
Yeah, K-R-I-S.
K-R-I-N-G-L-E.
Yes.
Right? And that's the
German. What were you thinking it would be? C-H-R-I-S.
Yeah. This is mind-blowing.
I know. I know.
The comments are going to blow up on this one.
Totally.
People's, you know.
Yeah. You know, I have my upcoming book. There's like a... You, an editor that proofreads everything, mm-hmm. obviously. And there's so many words. I'm like, oh, that was spelled like that. I've been spelling it different my whole fucking life.
Yeah.
I feel like such an idiot.
With like, which stands out? Which
Claw stands out. They also flag things that are inappropriate, and I don't want to repeat the words, but there's certain words that it's like, I didn't even realize that was like an inappropriate like thing. Oh, or there's a lot of like colloquialisms or like sayings that we just don't say, like they have, you know, sensitivity readers where there's like
censor.
There's just things that I hear people say all the time, mm-hmm. and I never knew that it was bad or considered problematic, but it there's a lot of things, and I don't even want to repeat
shit.
Them. Yeah. Like, you know, 6 to 1, half dozen of the other. That's not a bad one, but you know, sayings like that, mm-hmm. that we all say all the time, and you're like, oh, that origin is like, you realize the origin of it. Anyway.
That's interesting. It's like a raunchy. Because are they trying to market your book as like a family? Like,
no,
hey,
I mean, no, there's a lot of F-bombs in it.
Perfect. So
there's a lot of swearing and that kind of thing. I mean, I think everyone could get something out of it. But I wanted them, I asked them to just read through it and do what they call a sensitivity read. Because I was like, I don't want anyone to read it and be like offended by anything. Or to take them out of a story because of a word usage. So there was nothing egregious in mine. Yeah. It was just like, there was a couple things. It was like, oh, I didn't realize that saying is bad.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, back to Fred Claus. Pre-order my book on Amazon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, Fred Claus. You had pulled up some reviews, right? Do you have some reviews?
Yeah, actually.
Was that Fred Claus or was that something else you pulled up reviews for?
That was...
Because I feel like we need to just let people know.
Yeah.
While you look that up, I'm going to talk about Elizabeth Banks. Because Elizabeth Banks, I feel like, has never gotten really the respect she deserves. I know she's a director now. Mm-hmm. And she's doing a lot of big directing. She did the Pitch Perfect sequel. Mm-hmm. She's doing Cocaine Bear, which is like some new movie she's directing.
Oh, cool.
She's become a wonderful director.
Is that about the Cocaine Bear? That bear that found all that cocaine?
I think so. It reminds me of the meth gators.
The meth gators.
It's like, what are these animals doing?
These apex predators. I mean,
they need a cool list.
I feel so bad for Cocaine Bear because he was just like, oh, cool, snow. I'm going to eat this snow.
Wasn't
and then he
snow.
Was like, probably
tweaking out of his mind.
I wonder if, that would just be so scary and crazy. Like, I wonder what he did. Did he dance or sprint?
And the gators were in the sewers, and all the people in Florida were putting their meth in the toilet and flushing it down. I actually heard the meth gators was a myth. It wasn't like a real thing.
Oh,
but it was on the news, so I'm taking it to believe that the meth gators are real.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
And so all these gators, as if they're not scary enough, then they're running around in meth in Florida.
Methed out.
Like, imagine seeing a methed out gator. Like, there's nothing scarier to me. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Cocaine Bear, I think I could handle.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You party with them a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Calm them down. Do a little dance party. We'll be like, we'll get it all out of you.
Yeah, exactly.
But a meth gator, I feel like, what are you going to do? Like,
they're unstoppable.
Cocaine Bear is just going to want to dance.
And
the meth gators are going to want to eat you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the difference.
He's going to go to the Hollywood Hills and have a good time.
Yeah.
For some reason, my phone's not looking this up, but this is a quote from Giamatti about his role in this. He said, I'm playing a stressed out businessman who happens to also be Santa Claus. Giamatti, 40, says, sure, he is the
old. He was only 40?
He was 40 when they shot this.
What?
The man looks 60.
Okay, but he's looked 60 forever, hasn't he?
Sideways.
Him and Susan Sarandon have always been 60.
Have always been 60.
Never
even
not
Thelma
60.
Louise. And she's a hottie.
She's gorgeous,
she's
beautiful 60,
looks,
but she's always looked 60.
Yeah. Yeah.
And still to this day, she's probably 70 now, and yeah, she looks 80. 60.
Yeah.
So she just aged.
She also dates young guys.
Does she?
Yeah, she dates much
She looks dudes. 60. And yeah. I remember stepmom's like, oh, she's 60 there.
Yeah.
But Paul Giamatti's 40 and
Fred
Claus.
Yeah, when he's 40. And he's like, sure, he has the whole ho-ho-ho thing, but underneath that, he's a neurotic wreck. Like, I would love to see his process just getting ready for this. Oh, yeah. In my mind, Santa's a saint, but he's also a guy who doesn't understand his own feelings. Says Giamatti, an Oscar nominee for 2005's Cinderella Man.
I love Cinderella Man.
It was so good. Yeah, so he's like, he says that he's very patient, but he's processing a lot of anger. I was like, I love that that's your take on Santa.
Yeah.
Because you were talking about hot takes on Santa.
I mean, I guess you got to come in with something. Yeah. Otherwise, you're just going to blend in.
Yeah, he just went like he has so much anger and inner rage. Except he was mom and dad's favorite. Like Kathy Bates and the dad, they were
right.
They were really sweet to him. Weren't they really hard on Vince Vaughn?
They hate Vince Vaughn.
They hate Vince Vaughn. Yeah.
Which I can't imagine Santa's parents would really hate one of the kids.
Yeah.
I don't think that would happen.
Yeah.
But like, we've never really known Santa's parents until Fred Claus.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the original take in this movie. It's like we get to know the parents.
That's true.
Because never have we ever known the parents in a Santa Claus
movie. I totally didn't need the cold open of her giving birth.
No, it was unnecessary. Maybe it was part of Kathy's contract, Kathy Bates. It was like, we need another scene with Kathy.
Yeah. And she's like, I want to give birth.
I want Lights something up. Dramatic.
Yeah.
Let me give birth.
And then Fred is up. The kid
she's always
Fred.
Been 62.
Yeah. And he's watching the home birth of his brother, Nicholas, who would become Santa. Like, this is a really bizarre way
bizarre.
To start.
Bizarre.
What do you think about home births?
I'm not interested.
Not either.
I mean, good for you if you want to do it. I'm just saying, I don't want to watch like a tape of it.
Yeah.
Maybe that, I don't know what that makes me, but I'm just not interested.
Yeah. I just think so much can go sideways, which was a great movie with Paul Giamatti.
Right.
But
bring it back around.
Also just like, what if like everything goes ever? I'm looking around your house right now. Just like, can you imagine if you just bleed out? I don't know.
And I think at a doctor's office, like things are more sterile. Like I don't trust the everything being sterile in my house to just be doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know the tub thing is like, I would do a tub because I know they have
but
some
see,
of those.
That seems stressful too. Cause I don't know, forgive me, but like, I feel like a lot of stuff gets everywhere.
Oh, totally. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff
and
shoots out all over.
We don't have a big tub.
Yeah.
We don't even have any tub here actually in our apartment. Oh. We don't have a tub.
Stand up showers. We have one in my house and it's not even in my room. Did you see the Business of Being Born, that Ricky Lake documentary she did about giving birth?
No.
It made my sister want to have kids.
It made her want to have kids?
Yeah, she like, never did. Because, like, Ricky goes through the whole, like, hospital industrial complex. Like, the birth, how they, like, are just, like, C-sections, like, you know, trucking moms through the hospital and how there's much more humane ways to do it.
Oh,
you know, it's very, it's a really, I recommend the documentary. I like Ricky Lake. She's awesome.
People tuned in for a Fred Claus and you're telling them to watch something about like home births. I do have a good friend who's a doula.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I mean, whatever works for you, like we're not judging, but you know, whatever works, you're having the baby and honestly, moms can do whatever the fuck they want. They're moms. They're made a baby.
But it was cool
a human.
To see. Yeah. That it
don't know
like,
that it belongs in a movie like Fred Claus, but here we are.
Yeah. My mom almost died giving birth to me because I was a month late. I was due New Year's, born on Groundhog's Day, February 2nd. They pumped her full of, and this was what, 1984, pumped her full of these drugs to, you know, numb her out. Epidural, that's what it's called, right?
Yeah.
She starts suffocating or it's like closing her throat. Emergency C-section. She wakes up. Like a day later, I'm gone. Like it's horrible. Like hearing her, she can't tell the story of my birth without bawling.
Jenna, this took a turn. this took a big turn. You're telling your birth story.
Yeah. What was your? Were you birth canal?
No, I don't
or
know.
C-section?
I was canal. I think
your canal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I know I was canal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it? Did she?
But I think
talk about
everything was okay. She doesn't really tell. No, she doesn't really say anything. She always talks about like just. The time we were born, but I feel like I've never really heard. Now I kind of feel like I need to ask her. Like, I don't think Linda's ever told me any of the details.
Yeah. What time you were born?
It was in the evening. It was like six something.
Yeah.
Six p.m. after 6 p.m., a few minutes after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you like right on time?
I think so. Yeah. I was like right on time. Yeah.
It's so interesting. Okay. Back to Fred Claus.
But why would they? I don't understand why they needed that in Fred Claus. And you know, like the rule of writing that we're taught in like screenwriting classes or sketch writing or whatever, it's like you just get to it. Like, you need to get to what the thing is, what the movie is.
Yeah.
And so I just don't know that we needed to get to, like, the birth just starts us off at a weird place. It's like, get to what the thing, the meat of the movie is, those brothers.
Yeah.
I understand the sort of a concept of
it,
I guess.
Oh, it was that birdhouse scene. Now I'm remembering from Fred Claus. So Vince Vaughn had a birdhouse in a tree, and then Nicholas, the perfect kid, cut the tree down, and that was the first tree. That was, they also did the origin of why people cut down Christmas trees. I'm just now remembering.
I must have been zoned out. I'm like, because I truly did sit down to watch it.
Yeah.
And I feel like I zoned out. Or maybe like the shock. I actually, you know how sometimes you go through a trauma?
Yes.
And you hide the trauma and you don't even realize it.
Survival
and,
like, instincts.
Yeah, yeah, survival instinct. It like comes up at other times.
Yes.
I feel like that happened to me
during
watching
this movie.
You're
like, I'm traumatized.
My survival instincts took over and I don't remember. That's exactly what happened.
That is funny. You just, it tucked back.
It tucked back.
Into the psyche.
And I was just reading about this whole idea of it, which I know you used to host a survival podcast, yeah, but I was just reading about this whole thing about how it happens in so many people in their adult lives, like something will trigger a memory and they're like, how the fuck did I didn't even remember that happening because the trauma made them hide it. And I feel like the trauma of Fred Claus watching it, I hid it.
Of watching the home birth.
Wow.
You hid the next detail.
But somehow I remembered the dance with John Michael Higgins. I remembered Ludacris DJing.
Yeah. And then, you're right. So then I think he has a huge crush also on Elizabeth Banks. And the entire time, Fred Claus is like wingmanning him, trying to give him the gumption to ask her out. Her tits are out the whole time.
The bubbies are out the whole time.
It's the like yabos.
And the yabos. It's
the
like,
yabos are out.
Let Elizabeth Banks cover up the yabos in this holiday family film.
She's so funny.
She's got to get on set and she's probably looking at a wardrobe like, what the fuck are you putting me in?
Yeah. And Rachel has like a turtleneck on, you know? Ugh. Oh, yeah. That's one thing where...
We were just watching, Matt and I were just watching, I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Oh, I just rewatched it too.
Oh my God, they like put Jennifer Love Hewitt in just like the, especially in the sequel, like they're always finding ways for her to like take off her top. Oh my God.
And Can't Hardly Wait, remember? She's like always in a camisole.
Yeah, every scene is a camisole.
Yeah. And I'm like, give her a sweatshirt.
The one thing I will say about I Know What You Did Last Summer is that at least they objectify the men in that too.
Yes,
because Ryan Phillippe has like a shower scene. It's like, okay, good. Like we're doing at least equal billing here.
Hot. Thank you. I totally agree. Hotties.
Like if you're gonna make the woman do it, like in this movie, Fred Claus, like fucking John Michael Higgins should have had to show up with his blouse off.
A shirtless ludicrous DJing, right? I'm like, let's just see it.
We need something because it's honestly not fair. Now that I'm thinking, I'm getting pissed about Elizabeth Banks going to set, seeing her wardrobe.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, Vince Vaughn and Paul Giamatti get to wear their whole covered up. I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
Really, I'm trying to think, is there anyone in that movie, a male, that I would want to see with their top off?
Not really.
Well, they should have cast someone. Put Ryan Phillippe in there.
Someone jacked. Yeah, exactly. We need someone jacked in this movie. Because that's so fun. I love objectifying hot dudes. I just rewatched both Magic Mikes back to back.
We deserve it because after all the years of people of the industry objectifying women, it's high time that we objectify the men.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So Fred Claus. Wait, there was some other thing that just popped back into
my head. This episode is especially all over the place. I feel like we've been trying this season to be on track, but this episode's not. It's hard.
Yeah, then, so
and I'm in survival mode.
You're in survivor mode. You were in survivor mode this entire time. So he's like, okay, Superman, now you have to save Christmas. And all of a sudden, Kevin Spacey's cold dead heart melts. And he's like, I'm going to be Superman and save Christmas. I'm like, wait, what is happening?
We're just playing fast and loose with the rules of humanity.
Yeah, it really is. Because Vince Vaughn has to go out in the sleigh with the elf, Willie. And also, he has like a Thomas guide. I'm like, this is not automated by now? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And I think, why did Paul Giamatti set this one out?
Do you remember TomTom's, like the MapQuest of, remember for directions?
Yeah.
Remember back in like the early days, we had to print out MapQuest.
MapQuest, I remember.
Then they had those things called TomToms, which were like those separate navigation systems that you'd buy at like a Circuit City or Best Buy.
And you attach it to your dash.
Yeah, you attach it to the dash and it would have, you could put different voices on it. It was like a whole thing.
Do you remember that?
Isn't that what a weird time.
Wild to think about.
I mean, I'll never forget literally having to go online, like early computer days. It took forever. You type in the directions to and from and then print it.
Yep. And then bring it with you.
And carry your MapQuest directions. Or if you'd go on like a road trip with friends, like, can you print out the MapQuest directions? It's like, what the fuck were we doing?
And you would have this thing and you staple it sometimes if you're going really far.
I mean, we were really living in the wild, wild west back then.
Completely. Yeah. Isn't that wild?
That's and we crazy. Thought, I remember thinking like, wow, technology. Like, we can get our directions.
It gives me, like, step-by-step things.
Because when I was younger, when I would go on vacation, my brother was the navigator. And he would have the big-ass map on a family vacation.
I remember one time I had to use MapQuest to get to the Space Needle. I grew up in south of Seattle. And I got so lost because one of the directions was like pointing me into, I don't know, a forest. And I pulled over to ask directions. Bill and Melinda Gates. What? The Gateses. Yeah.
They gave me directions.
And I was like, oh my gosh, hi.
Are they live
over there on, like, you know, Lake Union. And I was like, they were just out for a leisure walk. And I had my MapQuest directions and they like looked at them and I was like, you're Bill and Melinda Gates. What's
that
going
is wild.
On? Isn't that the weirdest MapQuest?
That is wild.
Yeah.
I don't even know what Melinda looks like. Is that terrible
yeah.
of me?
I think I did because they're like, you know, local celebs.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I guess that's like me know, that's like me in Ohio knowing what Drew Carey looks like.
Is he the local? Yeah. Is that his yeah, like, he local, was, like, celeb, the local celeb?
But I met him in Vegas and I didn't recognize him. Like, he was with John Stamos and I didn't recognize Drew Carey. Like, we went up to John Stamos and then he was like with Drew Carey.
What year was that? Like,
but he, that was when he like lost all the weight, Drew Carey.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Right. Like right before Price is Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Any final thoughts on Fred Claus?
You know what? I think it was disturbing. I know we didn't really talk about Vince Vaughn's, the romantic through line that much because it was really non-existent. A lot of the reviews said that too, that it's like, he was like gaslighting Rachel Weisz the whole time. And then he's like, I'm going home. And then, he brings her to the North Pole to meet his family. And she doesn't really react to the fact that it's Santa at all, which is, that's fine. I'm okay with, like, you know, denial as a coping mechanism. But then they end up together at the end and they're all slow dancing in this house. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, there's there's no relationship in that movie that I respect, that I would want for myself. That I respect. And that's how I judge. That's how I judge him.
I mean, this was, when we talked Four Christmases, we had said if we had cable these days, we would stop on it, or I would stop on it on TBS, TNT, one of those channels. Fred Claus, I would never stop on. I wouldn't. I honestly wish I could burn all the copies of it to the ground. I would like it to go to hell. It makes me so mad.
With Kevin
and as
Spacey.
We're talking about it, I'm getting more and more upset about it.
Yeah,
I still don't remember these exact points of what happened, but I hate it.
I don't think he deserves Rachel Weisz at the end. That's the problem. Like, he goes there, he brings her. I also, why is she? Oh, yeah, he shows up in her room in Chicago. He's like, hi, how's it going? I'm going to stay with you. We're going to work this out. And she's like, I need you to leave. Like, she asks him to leave. She's like, you can't just show up here. And he's like, nope, we're going to work this out. I'm like, this is a toxic relationship.
Totally.
And also, why isn't she? She should be with friends and family. Like, I didn't like that. But then again, yeah.
I'm glad Rachel Weisz, or am I saying that right? Weisz. I'm glad she kind of got on track with her career.
Yes.
You know, I'm glad she got some better stuff. Yeah. Although around this time, she was also in a movie called Definitely Maybe that I love with Ryan Reynolds. It's like the only Ryan Reynolds movie that I genuinely like. Yeah.
It was a really good
and
movie.
And Elizabeth Banks from Fred Claus.
Elizabeth
Banks. God, they were starred in that movie together.
Oh,
they were
in
two movies together. Elizabeth Banks and Rachel. I wonder if they're buddies.
Oh, they might be.
They had like a lesbian relationship in Definitely Maybe. They were like, they hooked up or something. I love that movie.
Yeah, that was a really good one.
But I do not like, I feel bad. I just said I hate Fred Claus after I did a whole episode about it. But I did hate it.
Yeah, we had to.
I got to be honest.
We had to get there. It's an earned opinion. Because I think that too, having it hinge on Kevin Spacey not turning off the power at the North Pole is such a weird thing to hinge a movie on in the 2000s.
Right.
Like, there's one power lever. It's like, dude, you're diabolical, you know, but he was on the naughty list and then he got his Superman cape and now he works. Oh yeah. So in the ending, they're like, oh, now he works running, you know, a ship shape operation in the North Pole. And he wears the Superman cape under his sweater.
I know.
And I was like, what?
I did remember that part.
And Willie kisses Elizabeth Banks, I think against her will. It didn't seem that consensual to me.
I don't remember that.
I'm like, what is going on? Because you were in survivor mode.
So much of this, Jenna, I'm like shocked I don't remember. Because I'm not even kidding. I know listeners probably think I'm doing a bit. I swear, I put it on and I sat and watched it. I don't even think I was on my phone that much. Like, I don't think I had my computer around. Like, I think I like sat and like focused on it even. Like, I don't even think I was like, sometimes, you know, you put on a movie and then as I'm taking notes or something, I'll just sort of like not pay attention.
Yeah.
But I swear, I think I like watched this intently.
Yeah. Do you remember seeing him when Fred Claus come through the chimney to the Hasidic Jewish family and he like got like the challah bread? Is that how you say it? Like challah bread?
Challah.
Yeah, like a whole loaf, and he's like, I want some of the Manischewitz. Like,
I do remember that part. Okay, I do remember that part.
Like, that was like, I was like, oh, this is a whole, talk about new hot takes. Like, I've never seen Santa go into like a variety of faith households.
That was interesting. That was
it wasn't
good.
Long enough.
Yeah, so that was good.
Brief.
I do also, I remember thinking, I wish there was more magic.
Yeah.
We got all this money, production budget and stuff. It felt like there was no magic.
Especially because taking place in Chicago, you know, Chicago with the holidays is magical. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I spent a winter there once.
I love
with
Chicago.
With an ex-boyfriend. Yeah, it was like...
It's expensive to film in Chicago, beautiful. Too. It's like they got to film a little bit there because of Vince, probably.
Yeah, definitely.
And I didn't feel like they really made much of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's freezy there.
It's so fucking cold.
Yeah.
I got pneumonia. Okay, Jenna, let's wrap this up. Fred Claus, we love you guys so much for listening.
You. Thank you for riding along with us in the sleigh.
This was... we took a lot of turns. We took a lot of turns.
Ricky Lake, Business of Being Born documentary.
We want to just give a disclaimer. Anyone who's doing whatever kind of birth they want, good. We love
live
it. We
life,
support
we
it.
Love
it. We love moms.
We love babies.
We love elves. We love all the people in the world.
Yeah.
And except for the movie Fred Claus, we do not love that. Okay, yeah. We love you. I'm Danny Pellegrino, at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. And Jenna is?
I'm at jenna.brister on Insta.
And if you want all of our updates, go to at A Very Merry Iconic Podcast on Instagram.
Follow
rate
us.
And review us if you like it. If not, just don't worry about it. We love you.
Yeah, we love you.
And yeah, that's all.
Have a good evening.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Like to look 5 years younger. In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.